from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Absolute mad behavior in the studio right now as Bulldog has pulled a tomato out of the fridge and cut it up to eat.
Well, I've eaten it already. It's gone. It was not a cumbersome process.
Absolute crazy behavior.
Cut it into, I don't know, eights maybe, I guess, ultimately.
Who eats a tomato?
And a little, oh, man, this time of the year, tomatoes out of the garden. One of our coworkers has a bowl in the fridge with, there's some cucumbers in there. I'm going to save one for you. There's cucumbers and tomatoes in there. This time of the year, the tomatoes out of somebody's garden are one of the greatest things. I love them. Love them.
Just not alone.
Perfect.
Where's the sandwich? Where's the bread and the ham and cheese?
Christine didn't leave any bread out there. I don't know what to tell you.
Then you can't just eat it.
I didn't bring any bread or cheese either. I came to work without a snack. Happened to see a bowl of fresh vegetables in the fridge that said, help yourself, from my garden today. All right. I mean, I didn't sit in here like an animal and eat the tomato like someone would eat an apple. Because that's a disaster. It's so juicy and the seeds are all in your, it's a mess. You can't do that.
I mean, what are you saying?
You can't. I didn't eat it like an apple.
No.
Like just, you know, hold it in my hand and bite it because that would be a mess.
Okay, no, that's good.
So I cut it up into 8 pieces, sprinkled some pepper on there. Good to go. Perfect little snack.
Did I ever mention to you, I heard this on a podcast once, Bill Clinton was known for eating an entire apple. Like, he would just
put an apple in his mouth?
Well, not in one bite.
Okay.
But the core, everything.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, I don't know about that.
And that he would eat a baked potato in 2 bites.
The core? Really?
Yes.
The core of some of these newer, like, how well-versed in the apple culture are you?
Not well.
The Honeycrisp apple, which is really
high-end.
High-end apple. I don't always buy them because sometimes they get to, like, $3.99, $4.99 a pound, and, like, you know, I work in AM radio. So, but the core of those are really, really small.
Mm-hmm.
You cut it up. You could pop that in your mouth and swallow it with almost hardly without chewing it.
Well, more on this shocking story later today. But on the Wester
fresh
hotline.
Vegetables is shocking.
Well, right. Fruit. On the Wester hotline, Sean McDermott. Sean, to what do we owe the honor? We're very excited to have you back.
Well, I just missed you guys so much. I couldn't wait to get on with you here and see how your summer's been going.
Oh, I'm eating fresh garden tomatoes. That's how my summer's going, Sean.
Doesn't sound good to me. 5 years,
that sounds really good.
5 years have passed since our Monday post-game conversations, 5 playoff seasons. I thought, if you wouldn't mind, a question that isn't about like your injuries and who plays on Saturday and this kind of thing, maybe an opportunity for some perspective on your career here and, you know, a very successful run. This would not have been a question I would have wanted to ask you when you were starting. But maybe now, I wonder if you look back on taking over as head coach of the Bills, how confident you were that it would go successfully? Like, how strongly did you feel that this was going to work out well for you?
Well, that's a great question. You know, you're always confident when you're in, when you're given a job or you earn a job like that, you're confident in your own abilities. But there's always, hey, questions of, hey, how's this going to really take shape, right? And how's it going to develop? And we've got to get, you know, certain key pieces in order to really build this team the right way. And you know, the people that we've been able to hire on staff and making sure that those are the right people to help us win. And so, you know, this hasn't, I haven't done this myself. It's been a team effort, and we've had great people and great players along the way that have helped us. And we've just, as a family, embraced and really have fallen in love with Buffalo and the fan base and the community. And we're just extremely blessed to be here. And I mean, if you would have told me, and I think this is true of any head coach that takes a job their first year, that you'd be there for 8 years and win, you know, X amount of, you know, AFC East division championships and be in the playoffs like we have. I mean, let's be honest, that first year, you're just saying, hey, let's just get the culture piece right. And we went and made the playoffs. And that was, you know, due in large part to a team that just overachieved and played with a lot of heart and toughness. So I say all that to say it's been a heck of a ride, and as a family, we're extremely grateful.
For folks who don't know, Mike Tomlin, 17 years, John Harbaugh, 16 years, Andy Reid, 11 years, the only three coaches in the league who've had their jobs longer than Sean McDermott. McVay in L.A., as well as Kyle Shanahan, are on the same timeline with San Francisco. They got hired that same offseason as you. Sean, when you look at what you thought about the job when you took it to now, is there one thing, maybe a few things that stand out to you that are completely different from what you perceived they would be when you took the job?
Yeah, I don't know that that's the case, Bulldog. I feel like overall, when you know, growing up outside of Philadelphia, I wasn't too far geographically from Buffalo. You have a sense growing up in the early 90s for the tradition of the team, because they were so good under Coach Levy and the players that were here during that stretch run. And so, you know, having been here now 8 years, I think it's really watching it get back to where it was, in a place that loves football. They're passionate about their team, and it's really, you know, the team is in sync with the community, and the community is in sync with the team. And now, you know, kind of peering back over my shoulder in my office here to see this new stadium going up is almost surreal, right? Because again, you're trying to win your first game as a head coach, and yeah, I mean that's the reality of it. And to see this new stadium popping up over my shoulder every day I drive in and drive out and see the progress is again a surreal moment because of what that means for the future for the Buffalo Bills and the fans. I think that's pretty cool.
With Sean McDermott here on WGR. Getting to, you know, more in present day and the upcoming season, I'm wondering if with the changes to the roster, now you have injuries. I mean, teams often have injuries, but I wonder if you would say this year so far has been a different sort of coaching challenge for you. I mean, of course, Hyde and Poyer and all the miles with those two guys, just invaluable on the field for almost every play for a few years there. Now those guys are gone as well as others. Is this year different so far?
It is, and every year show up, as you know, is different. But it's different this year because of some of what you mentioned, right, with those players that were so instrumental in helping us get this to where it is, and it's hard to see those players move on to either other teams or retire in different ways, and you know they're moving on to other chapters, new chapters for themselves and their families, and I'll forever be indebted to those names that you mentioned, plus many more, and this team, you know, specific to our team this year. It's always a new team because it's a new year and there's new people, new faces. There's quite a few new faces, some older, some younger. And, you know, the injuries are always going to be the injuries. And it's a physical game and it's taxing. And so you're always going to have that. So we do the best we can with, you know, finding solutions and focusing on those solutions. And the next man has to step up. And that's the reality of our situation.
Those names, a lot of those guys were here for the whole ride and veteran leader type guys. How much of a challenge is that for you this year? How much different is that considering, like, as much as every year is different, when you've got the same core group, or at least a lot of the same core group year over year, some of that stuff, I don't want to say just takes care of itself, but, you know, maybe you don't have to worry about it as much when your head hits the pillow. I'm wondering about what that's like this year.
Well, it's another opportunity, and you're right, Bulldog, when you say, hey, listen, that when you have those guys that have been around and you have multiple that have been around, you know, starting with a player and a person like Kyle Williams, man, I learned so much about Buffalo, about the community, just in my time around Kyle Williams, when you talk about a leader, right? And I remember Kyle, one of the just memories I'll carry with me my entire life is when he described, you know, one day being in the playoffs. I think it was our 2017 season during the course of that year, and he was getting emotional about, you know, being able to show up for that game. And in fact, I think it may have been 2018 before he retired, because we had not hosted to that point a home playoff game. And, you know, he had mentioned, hey, dreaming of what that would feel like and, you know, getting out of his car that morning and kind of the feel of the salt right underneath of his boots. And
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I mean, that's real. And what it would feel like and what it would be like for the fans to be to host a playoff game. And I think that's just that speaks to who he is as a person and what this place means to him and meant to him years ago as a player. And so the leadership piece has been critical as well. And now, you know, it's a new time. And this is Josh Allen's team, point blank. And Josh has done a phenomenal job. As we've, you know, gotten this season rolling in training camp and now into the preseason. And, you know, we'll be counting on him not only under center, but also big time from a leadership standpoint this season.
How has your relationship with him evolved over 7 years here?
Oh, boy. I mean, it's been phenomenal. You know, it's Josh coming in here years ago, and just the way he handled himself and has endeared himself to the fan base. You know, I think more than anything, it's, you know, when Brandon and I sat down and evaluated Josh, I know both of us felt like Josh was the man for Buffalo. And I think one of the biggest things alongside of the talent was, hey, is he going to fit into this community and really connect? And we all know that that's been the case, plus some, because that's important, right? When you're drafting a potential face of a franchise for many years to come, that there is that ability to connect and someone who wants to spend time in the community. And for what he's done around our community and the way he's represented the Buffalo Bills, I think we could all say we all owe him a ton of thanks for the way he's played, but also the way he's handled himself outside of and off the football field.
What is somewhat ironic about all of that, you're talking about reflecting on your career as we're asking you to do. One thing I think about, I mean, I've been sitting here talking about this team for 25 years, Bulldog more. It used to be said, Sean, no more quarterbacks from California.
fans,
we're not always sort of simpatico with quarterbacks from California. Like, well, Tom Brady might be from. Isn't Tom Brady right. from Cali? No. It doesn't matter.
One picture of Rob Johnson in a hot tub in swim trunks. That was the end of that.
No more California
right.
Bills quarterback. So we got past that. It seems.
Bulldog, you just keep eating your tomatoes over there, right?
Can you believe that behavior? With Sean McDermott here on WGR. Well, to this, like this moment here where you have all these injuries, it sounds like you've had to change course on what you want to do with preseason game number 3. I mean, is that true? And is that just out of necessity?
Yeah, it is true. I mean, it's what we're dealing with right now, and, you know, full trust and confidence in our training staff. It is important that we listen to where the team is right now. And so where the team is we do have, we're down on numbers. So really not comfortable with our ones playing this week as we had envisioned. And so we shift to the twos and threes, and the opportunity is that they're going to get a great run this weekend at showing us who they really are, so we can really get a great evaluation on them and making sure we've got the roster the right way once cutdown time comes here. So I'm excited for those guys. Having said that, this week of practice, we are working a lot of our ones to make sure that we're continuing best we can to move the team forward as we get ready for Arizona moving ahead here.
How much specifically do you think Cole Bishop can factor in early this season, considering how much time he's missed? Because safety is a big curiosity here, obviously. We've already covered Hyde and Poyer are gone, and that's really where the injury bug first started, was back there with Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop, and of course it's grown from there. But on Bishop specifically, does he have enough time to ramp up to be used in some ways on defense when September gets here?
Well, Bulldog, that's the $20,000 question that we don't even know the answer to that right now. We're hoping the answer is yes. Cole did get some valuable reps in spring, and he also got, I think about 100-150 reps in camp before he suffered the injury that he's currently dealing with. And so there is some level of knowledge of the system, just not enough right now. So we're hoping, by the end of this week, through the course of walkthroughs, and then getting him hopefully next week, into some reps, some team reps, and we'll have to see on that, that he can get back to a point where, at least he's functional, either in all three, first, second, and third down, or maybe one piece of it to just begin the season. So that's really honestly where we're at. But we've got to, like I said, is take it just one day at a time here.
Not to jump ahead, but the deadline is 1 week from today, minus a few minutes. And I'm sure that's one of the toughest days of the year for yourself, for Brandon Bean. I wonder how you do it. When I watch Hard Knocks, these conversations get shown sometimes, and they seem mostly the same, where the GM, the coaches might be in the room, they deliver the bad news, player probably is crushed if they're not expecting it, take it in stride, and it seems like sort of a friendly handshake, and on the player goes. I wonder if that's pretty accurate from your experience, and I also wonder if anybody ever argued with you and just tried to push back and maybe try to change your mind.
No, I mean, it's real, Shope. It's the Hard Knocks piece, no offense, but that's hard to watch. I mean, you're talking about people's livelihoods, careers being, yeah, displayed for all to see. I think it's great TV. I guess it makes for great TV, but that is, that's hard to watch. It's the reality of our business. Those conversations, I can promise you, are brutal. They're honestly brutal, and there's not one of them that you leave saying, "I feel good about that," right? Other than being as honest as we can be to help a player or a person find another team, or to help them in another, profession if they decide to leave the sports profession that they're in. So, it's brutal, and it's not easy in any way. So it's that part that's I haven't watched it, but I'm sure that the Hard Knocks pieces are, that's the way it is, and it's not fun. So I can promise you that.
Do you have to make a special effort to not just sort of buzz through one of those conversations, because you're having, dozens of them maybe each year, or Brandon Bean is, whereas each guy, that's their one, that's it. It's a lot more meaningful, I think, for the person on the other end of it than you. And I'd say it's like you're assembly lining these, but I wonder how much you have to work at making sure you're giving everybody their due respect.
That's big. I mean, these players, we try and give them all a chance to play in that first preseason game. For that reason, they've worked hard to that point in camp and through the spring, and to us, they have earned the right to get a chance to play and say that they played in an NFL game, and their parents get a chance to watch them. I mean, can you imagine them not playing? Their parents show up to watch them in the first and only preseason game that they may play in, and then they don't play. I mean, and there's people that do it that way. That's not how we do it. Just feel like these guys have earned it, and so here we are. And you're right. It there's X amount of players lining up that day that we have to talk about and talk with, and it is important that we take a certain level of care to talk with them and help them through that call it transitionary phase. And then the follow-up, best we can, is important as well, because, you know, you go through, again, umpteen weeks of being around each other, then they're no longer here, and you want to make sure that they're doing okay, and it gets busy fast, right? So, the first game comes quickly and you're game planning, but you try your best to, if you can at least, to reach out and follow up. And it's not always the case, but you do the best you can. And it is Brandon and I both on those days. And so I think that's just the right way to go about it.
Sean, maybe one more for me would just be to ask you about the backup quarterback position right now. You lose Buechel and then Trubisky on Saturday. You're bringing in new guys. I wonder just like what can be accomplished with quarterbacks who have not been on the team but for a couple of days or one day in the case of Brown, and just maybe, you know, you're working toward the possibility that one of these guys might actually be on the roster. It's just got to be another challenge for the Bills here this summer.
No, it is, and that's a critical position, right? Because of the value of the position, and, you know, normally you're carrying two, sometimes three, and so you want to have that backup quarterback position be someone who can really come in. And as we always say, the litmus test, Shoep, is can they come in and bail us out if Josh goes down for, you know, three, four games and at least go .500, right? At least split. And so that's an important piece. So, you know, making sure we have that piece in-house is important. And right now, you know, as we all know, Mitch is sidelined now for a couple of weeks perhaps, and we'll see where that goes. But yeah, I mean, you know, Ben being in here, and I thought he did a real nice job the other night, albeit he didn't throw many passes. His command in a short amount of time I thought was impressive. So we'll see how things go, and to your point, it is an important position for us.
Does it seem like maybe more is on the table than ever before because of the timing of these injuries and with the season creeping closer? Like Mike mentioned already, cutdown day is next week. Is that board of guys that you might be interested in and on other teams getting more attention than it normally would, maybe specifically at quarterback? Because if Trubisky isn't ready for the regular season, I don't know, maybe you might have to pivot.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we're always looking, right? Every position, the great thing about our personnel department is in the way it works, mostly for every team, is that we've got a number of staff, scouts, pro scouts, that spend a lot of time looking at every position to see if we can improve our roster, and backup quarterbacks no different. So it's they're always looking, always seeing how we can improve, and we're extremely, you know, obviously, as we all know, grateful to have Josh, but we also have to protect ourselves there if unfortunately something were to happen. So we do our best to make sure we're looking all the time here.
Good luck with all of it, Sean. We're pleased to be able to reconnect with you today. Thanks for giving us your time.
Oh, man, great to reconnect with you guys. And you guys, listen, come visit practice anytime you want. We'd love to have you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks.
Sean McDermott on the West Her Hotline. Not the whole practice. He doesn't mean the whole practice.
I mean, I don't know. He's in charge.
Can you imagine, like, you and I go out there, and, like, Sal and other, they ask him to leave, you know.
Oh, right, the viewing portion of the.
But we stay.
Yeah.
We're right. Guests of the head coach. We're just here to watch practice. We're just going to do that.
Well, let's do that.
I'm in.
Now I want to do
it. If it's the whole thing.
Yeah.
I would do it if it were the whole thing. I don't think I would do it for 10 minutes, but it's, you know, a nice offer.
Yeah.
All right. We'd love to get some feedback. 803-0550. Bills have real issues, backup quarterback being one. Sean McDermott going into his eighth year, and it was nice to get some perspective from him on these last 7 years. Mike Shoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. Back after sports, this is WGR.
I love where Keon's at as a football player right now. Obviously, understanding where expectations are and everything. I understand where he got drafted and whatnot. I'm not always just focused on how the production is in a preseason game as opposed to seeing it on every day in practice. You know, there's certain things that we've asked other receivers to do. It's everybody in a little different role in terms of the run game. Remember, Keon coming out, he's one of the best blockers in the draft. Not saying you're drafting a guy to block, but having guys that can do a little bit of everything, you know, where they can make plays as a receiver, they can block. It makes it a little harder on defense. There's no way, hey, where guys are and what they're going to do when they're in those positions.
Joe Brady speaking earlier today. We'll get Sal's comments on his comments coming up in about half an hour. What did you think of what Sean McDermott had to say? We're here for your calls, of course. 803-0550 is the number. If I didn't say it before the break, I'll say it now. Just nice to be able to talk to him for the first time I think I've ever done it on the air and not have it be about yesterday's game or the next game, you know, like
I don't know if we even visited with him when he got the job. I feel like maybe we didn't. I think when we first started talking to him, it was, those you know, weekly hits after a game. And so it's really, you know, it's 10 minutes and it's all about the game. And so to be able to stretch out and talk about 8 years and everything was nice.
Yeah, he said one thing that, of course, would be right, that like thinking about how confident were you when taking over, you tell any coach they're going to get to year eight. You know, that probably does mean division titles and playoffs.
You're doing pretty good, right. It's going well if you're here for year eight.
Yeah. So,
and yeah, I mean, I didn't want to push that much farther, that line of questioning anyway, but you know, it was kind of an assembly line here for a while, post Marv. I mean, it was just like one, Dick Duran got a second contract, I remember, and then didn't even make it out of the first year of the second contract. Like that was the score to beat. You know, post Marv coming in here when McDermott showed up. So, everybody else was 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. Just get him out of here. So,
yeah, but McDermott is going into his eighth season. In the previous eight Bills seasons, they had six coaches, including two interim coaches. Geron, Fuel, Gailey, Marone, Rex Ryan, Anthony Lynn in the eight previous years. To these six different guys. I'm not even sure that'd be a record, but it's not great.
Right. Right. No. Yeah. That's an assembly line is what it is. So, been a lot of good. So yeah, 8 years. I didn't know. I you could tell I was thinking about that part of this, because I had those other guys at the ready there, and it's still, even though I had the list made for more than a week, looking at it, thinking like he's the fourth longest tenured coach in the league is nuts to me. But, you know, the guys, nobody stays very long if it doesn't work right away anymore. So I feel like coaching tenures are shorter than they've ever been.
For the Bills, for any coach in the profession, it's outstanding. He's got to get one, though.
Yeah.
Like those other names, the names ahead of him have rings. A couple behind him do too. Shanahan's lost in the Super Bowl twice. Like, that's what's left. Getting to a Super Bowl, at least, is what's left. Because then, once, if you win one, like, think about John Harbaugh. He was not famous or anything when he was hired by the Ravens. I remember, I think it was, I'm not even sure why I'm questioning myself now, but at a Super Bowl, talking with him, I think he was the Eagles special teams coach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his brother was a famous player, but he gets that opportunity. He's never let go of it. And then you just, time goes by, one Super Bowl, then another, right? Does he have two? Or he's been to two. He's 1-1.
Okay, right.
Beat, is that right?
No, I think.
He's 1-0.
Yeah, he's 1-0.
Beat San Francisco.
He hasn't been again.
He's been to one, sorry.
Yeah.
Then you are talking, 20 years goes by, and you're talking about, like, legend stuff, you know, all-time great, Hall of Fame, that conversation. But I don't think you get there without getting a ring, at least one.
No, I think that's right. Yeah, I mean, maybe Andy Reid, who's ahead of him on this list currently, is one of the guys that has the long, but he did get there at one point with Philly finally, right? And they lost, but he was famous for losing in the NFC title game. But he was there a long time, but yeah, he was let go.
He had
at least that one Super Bowl appearance in there eventually that, somewhat maybe like validated, like, okay, we can keep going now. Yeah. I mean, you get to one, he gets to one. He could be Mike Tomlin. You know, like, you know, we'll see. Like,
Tomlin is 1-1.
You gotta get there. You gotta, you know, win one. And you gotta survive the tumult that is like a quarterback change and all that. And I don't know, like, Tomlin hasn't exactly made it out of the Roethlisberger era yet. Like, they still don't have their next guy. And he presided over really a dilapidated Roethlisberger the last couple of years of his career, but still kept the job and now started over and starting over again. And the Super Bowls are sort of, I think, a buffer to that. Like, we know he knows how to do it. He knows what the secret sauce ingredients are. So we'll just keep going with this guy. So it matters a lot if you get that. It's hard to be here that long without one.
Tomlin, I mean, I'm so fast to tell you how bad I think they are right now, but it looks great on a coach when you keep it afloat, make the playoffs even, especially, or at least, when you don't have QB1.
Yeah.
Right? And that's something else. Not that McDermott has to care about this. It's hopefully for his sake and everyone else's around here that it's a long time before, you know, there is that conversation. But, you know, that's where a coach really, I think Harbaugh and Tomlin, maybe even to a lesser degree, seem like they must be really good. Because when you don't have Mahomes or Allen or somebody like that, you have to... Harbaugh has that now, but Tomlin doesn't. You have to figure out other ways. 803-0550 is the number. We had Joe Brady there from this morning or early this afternoon, which talking about Keon Coleman. A caller earlier was asking about Brandon Ayuk and said something like it looks like our shiny new toy might need time or take a while, something sort of negative. And I wasn't sure who he meant. Did he probably mean Coleman? Because if he meant Coleman, because he referred to Kincaid later, he wasn't Kincaid. If he meant Coleman, I don't know. To me, it sounds like it's going mostly well.
I think it's going well. I mean, we talked to Cody on Friday, Cody Carpentier. His observation was Samuel didn't practice. Shakir, Kincaid, really clicking with Allen. Coleman, it's a little off.
Yeah, right? That's right.
I don't know, maybe the caller's thinking about the drop from Saturday. I don't know, it's one pass, but it was a drop. I was, you know, I said yesterday a few times, that's a guy that I'm expecting to be in traffic. Like, I know the guy was coming and he was going to get hit. Like, that's the job. And it's especially the job if your expertise, right, if your resume does not lead with creates great separation. You're going to be in traffic, you know. So you're going to have to catch the ball when you're in traffic, especially when you're in the end zone. This is a lack of concentration, to me, bad drop. There's been a lot of, I shouldn't say I'm surprised by it, but just... I'm stunned by how many people are like pushing back against that, like blaming Trubisky because they just don't like Trubisky and they love Coleman. That's how it works, I know, sometimes, but come on, a drop's a drop. The ball was right there. He had both hands on it. He didn't catch it. So was it perfect? You know, no, but should it have been caught? Absolutely. I'm glad that he said that today. I'm not surprised that the player said that, but I don't know. Like, some of the fans, I think, are so... worried about criticizing the new guy because their hopes are so high for him that they didn't want to admit that the guy dropped the ball in the end zone on Saturday, but he did.
I guess I just, maybe it's not the day-to-day precision, to put it mildly, that you hope to get to someday, but he's involved, he's playing with the starters. These aren't things I was assuming were necessarily going to happen, you know, that there even would be highlights. Because, you know, rookies taking time, other guys, what Coleman would, second round pick, if I really want to sway you, which is what he was. But I might have had an idea that there would be sort of a slower ramp up, and I'm not sure that will be wrong necessarily, like just how it plays out in the regular season, but it does seem like they are really giving him an opportunity, and that's based on preseason usage and just sort of like what these practices have sounded like, and to whatever extent I could tell you looked like. And that has me more excited. It's more just, I feel like he's going to be more important this year than I would have said a month or two ago.
Tripped a wire for me by mentioning preseason usage. I did not make a note of it because I was out on Saturday and I watched the game in a couple of different places. So I'm not sure when this was, but I'm almost certain it was by the time Ben DiNucci was in the game, which again was a little earlier than they wanted because Trubisky got hurt. But there was a moment where I looked at their offensive set and went, oh, Coleman's still out there. You know, like later than you – usually a guy, if you're – you know, we look for clues in that way with Kincaid last year, right? He'd play like that first series and then he's done. Like, okay. Like, right. They're not fooling around with this guy. Coleman was out there, I think, in the second half. But I sure hope it was. I didn't write it down, but I know I did. It was a moment I looked up and went, huh. All right, you know, file away. I didn't do a great job of the filing because I don't have the time of the game on my mind here to tell you, but it stood out to me. I don't know if anybody else noticed that, but he was on the field a little later than I might have expected him to be.
Sal tweeted the snap count for everybody, and Coleman was up there with anybody other than like offensive linemen. He and Shavers played 31 snaps in the game, more than any other skill position player. 55% of the snaps. Two for Kincaid, by the way, since you brought him up.
Okay, right. Yeah. So I don't know if that's a clue in there. You know, like they want him to have reps, of course. Like that makes sense. But usually you want a guy to get reps if you're not sure he's got it yet. Right? And none of the other starters are out there. And here you are. So I don't know. I took that as maybe not the best sign for how that's going.
I take it as more of a par than a bogey.
Okay.
Because as a rookie, like you would see that in other situations around the league too. The rookie is going to play more. We talked about New England for a minute, you know, with backups because of the reps. And if Coleman is somebody where the polish isn't there, then you would absolutely want that, right? You would not even necessarily caring about who the quarterback is or anything like that. You know, run the route, run the right, right route, run the right play. And so perhaps they were looking at it that way, but I don't think it's a bad sign. I mean, what are they right now going into week one? Let's say no Samuel, turf toe. I mean, that's a month, right?
So sure. Yeah.
Let's say no Samuel. That'd be my guess right now for week one. What are they? They are Hollins. You have Shakir in the slot. And I think you have Coleman. And then you're going to fool around with Kincaid in there and Knox plays. I think that's what it probably will be.
Well, you just sort of said it. That Coleman might be in that group because no Samuel. Not that he's a replacement for Samuel, but like I think without Samuel being out, then, you know, Coleman to me might be like the first guy in off the bench, four receivers, whatever, but he's not in the group, you know, he's not one of the big three, I guess. If Hollins is going to be that, because to me that's Coleman's spot. And if they want Hollins out there for whatever reason, they trust him, a veteran, leader in the room, all the stuff, bare feet, I don't know, crazy hair, whatever it is they love about him being on the field, then I think that's Coleman's spot. So I don't know. I wonder how that'll shake out. If Samuel's not there, then I think it's very maybe likely that his playing time jumps up.
803-0550 if you want to give us your reads. Sal Capaccio coming up in 20 minutes. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Hey, if you're just joining us, Sean McDermott was on earlier, but that's not the big news. It's that Bulldog picked a tomato out of the fridge and just ate it, like cut it up. No other ingredients were involved. Just a straight tomato.
And it was delicious.
People on Twitter commenting, you know there are there's definitely some outrage.
I've only got outrage at you.
Okay, well, that sounds
probably
like
by
what
people
should happen.
You blocked.
Yes, probably. My mom, probably right, is mad because I wouldn't ever eat my tomatoes, and now she's coming at me through you.
I didn't realize you don't. You order sandwiches with no tomatoes on them.
Usually,
you're not a tomato.
I'm not.
You're not a tomato guy. Well, see, this is a you problem then.
There are two childhood traumatic events pertaining to food in my past. One is Super Bowl 15, the broccoli soup game.
Right.
When I would just not eat the broccoli soup and I was forced to have my back to the TV and not get up from the table for the entire Super Bowl. 1980.
Yep.
And the other is my dad's favorite sandwich, or one of them, well, just white bread, tomatoes, and mayonnaise.
Yeah.
And, oh, just a fate worse than death.
Yeah.
Having to eat an entire tomato sandwich. Just, right, you know how your brain does this? Like, right now, I can taste that taste, and it makes me sick to think about it.
Oh, see, like, I'm texting my wife, like, hey, I've got access to delicious fresh tomatoes. You want BLTs for dinner? I can stop for bacon on the way home, and, like, that's a go for us. So, yeah, you have a tomato problem. Our oldest son, Owen, does not like tomatoes at all. I get it. I live with someone who's like this, and has been like that since he was little.
For me, it's really only in that form, just raw.
Yeah, right. Tomato sauce. He doesn't love tomato sauce, but he's grown to be, you know, he'll eat it.
Yeah.
But tomatoes on subs or sandwiches, no.
Only in certain, like a royal. It's been a long time. This is one of the foods I cut out. It's been a long time for me, at least a year for royal. But that's one where I want the tomato to cut through just the oil and the fat.
Royal.
So I want the tomato on the royal.
That's an elite submarine sandwich right there.
It is.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Got to do it right.
Yeah. Kid doesn't like oranges either.
Really?
Which I like breakfast buffet during hockey, you know, like, have a couple oranges. Have an orange. Like, I don't like oranges. You don't like oranges. Like, I remember sitting in like the Holiday Inn breakfast nook in who knows where. Like, seriously? You don't? I sounded just like this. You don't like oranges? Who doesn't like oranges? You can not like peeling them, okay, but like actually eating oranges?
It would be the texture, the outer, inside the peel, that outer filmy texture,
yes.
I think could throw a kid.
I don't know, he just won't eat oranges.
My son will eat a small box like you would buy in the store of grape tomatoes a day. Just pops them.
Me too.
As a snack.
Yeah, I don't do it, but I would. I definitely would. I love tomatoes.
Tomato talk.
Yeah,
that's right. Bisons are home tonight.
A lot of tomato talk.
To Omaha. First meeting in 27 years.
Come on.
The Omaha Storm Chasers, as they're now known.
I did hear that name. Okay.
Are in Buffalo for the usual six-game series, I believe.
Did some team from somewhere else relocate to Omaha?
No. They have been there since maybe 1969.
Wow.
Omaha franchise. And it's just like all the different realignments and everything with AAA. They haven't played the Bisons, at least in Buffalo. I'm not sure if that's true at all, but at least in Buffalo. But they're here tonight. 1997, that's what, the American Association days, I think, maybe still then?
That's
or
wild.
Maybe not. Maybe they're International League by then. But anyway, if you've missed the Omaha Storm Chasers, the Royals affiliate, get back out there this week, starting tonight.
Giddy up.
Sal coming up, a step forward for Cole Bishop. How are the Bills managing at quarterback behind Josh Allen? Another new addition today after Mitch Trubisky is injured in the game on Saturday. We'll talk to Sal about those topics and more after the update. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.